depends on you. You prepare your questions. According to the question, I could speak down to it. If you don't have any questions, so let me fly. So I fly. I would make a short introduction to the aspect of the day that we are in. We are in actually in Purim Cotton, Shoshan Purim. And based on this introduction, please prepare your questions. And according to the question will be in this lecture, the Shir. Hashem gave us three Yomim Tovim. Hashem gave us a gift, which is three Yomim Tovim. This is Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. We, in return, gave back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu our three Yomim Tovim. This three Yomim Tovim, the Rabbanim established three Yomim Tovim, which is Tisha B'Av and Chanukah and Purim. Tisha B'Av is a Yom Tov, Korah Laid Moed. We don't say Tachnun. Of course, we cry on Tisha B'Av, but it's still a Yom Tov. It's a Moed. Mashiach will come, and in effect, that's going to be the only Yom Tov which we're going to practice. Chanukah is a mitzvah, is a Yom Tov Derabbanan, and Purim is a Yom Tov Derabbanan. This three Yom Tovim is actually corresponding to the three Yom Tovim which Hashem gave us. Hashem gave us Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. What are the three? Because the whole system which we are involved in the creation, in the Bria, is built on the three principles of Kidshe Brichi, Oraisa, Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Torah, and Yisrael. Pesach we received a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a Kodesh Baruch Hu to us. Nigle Eleh Melech Malach HaMelochim HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed himself. Such a revelation with no, the Malach, the Shliach, the Seraph, Ani Hashem, Zechvoidi Ba'afi. I Hashem, myself. No, everyone, me and me alone. We, Hashem. And by the way, Pesach, which was Kriyas Yamsu, we say, Ra'as Hashivcha Le'yam, Asher Ra'as Hachesko Bebuzi, that every Jew saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every simple maiden saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the highest level. Everyone said, Zakei Le'vam Deyu. Shavuos, we receive Torah. Kol Ha'am Ro'im V'Sakol, we saw the voice of Hashem. We received Hashem's Torah. Sukkot, we received ourselves, Israel. Sukkot is the, Hashem gave the gift of you, that everyone is welcome to sit under the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol Yisrael, Kol Ezrach VeYisrael, Yeshu V'Sukkos. Every citizen of Israel, everyone is a born Jew, should sit in the Sukkah. That's Manasim Hussein, that's a title of rejoicement, it means a Jew, and not depending on any condition, has the right to sit in Sukkah. It's interesting that when we want to be alert to the receiving of Hashem of Pesach, you have to be involved, you have to know Kalamar Barasapar, you have to talk about it, you have to be in it. If you want to be appreciative of Torah, of Shavuos, you have to learn Torah, you have to practice Torah, you have to appreciate Torah. What you want to appreciate and to receive the quality of Israel, who are you, that is being demonstrated not by Madregas, just going to the Sukkah and sleep. That's matter of fact is the only mitzvah that you could feel, you could fulfill while you sleep. It means it shows the unconditional Jew, a Yid is an unconditional mitzvah. You invite it just like a little infant under the mother's arms, sleeps, and it's a baby, a cute baby. Am Yisrael is actually pampered by Kodesh Baruch on Sukkot. Le'umosoi, corresponding of this three Yom Tovim, we respond, we reciprocate to Kodesh Baruch back with our three Yom Tovim, which is Tisha B'Av, Chanukah, and Purim. Tisha B'Av, we acknowledge the, what we received Hashem. Hashem gave himself on Pesach, and Tisha B'Av, we acknowledge we have Hashem, we never lost him. Avi Dud lost him, there's a Hester upon him, but as long as we sit and cry for him, we didn't lost him. People who yearn for Hashem, they cry for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's a Yom Tov. We acknowledge that we did never lost a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Usually, say the night, whenever it comes out, that's the night of Tisha B'Av. In Ad Bashka, the first day of Pesach is usually Tisha B'Av. In Tisha B'Av, we say Nekinas, Mitzrayim, 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 Mitzrayim. It's all the same. It depends how you express it, but if you express it with laughing and enjoying it, say the night, and Hashem comes and shows himself, or you're expressing it by crying on the floor when Hashem is hiding himself, but it's the same topic. reminds me, I was speaking once in Tveria. I spoke there in an absolute secular senior high school. I make sure that's the high school, then they go to the army. 17 and a half, 18-year-old boys and girls. Secular could be terrible. And how was I invited? I spoke there twice already. And it's an experience which is unbelievable to meet Israeli youth. But then no derecherets, no mannerism whatsoever. It's so far away, it's unbelievable. It's anti-religious. And how was I invited? Because the principal of that school became a Baal Tshuva on a seminar for Arachim. But if you would come back with a yarmulke, with a full exposed Baal Tshuva, it would be fired on the spot. This is the most anti-religious school. He didn't want to lose his job. So externally, he's not a Baal Tshuva, but quietly, he's like a Morano. He's true. So he, with all kind of pretext, all kind of gimmicks, he invites religious speakers, kilu, and then like I'm an American speaker, I once came from Russia and to give experience in there. So the second, so one of my second trips, and somebody came along with me in the mountains, I told him, don't get scared what you're going to see, you will never believe what you're going to see. Don't you ever get scared, but it's a mamash gehenna. He took us into the auditorium, it was packed. It took at least 15 minutes to just to quiet them down. They were making the laughing of one like little kindergarten children. And I was surprised. The teachers were with them, and the principal, and then they couldn't quiet them down. They were terrible. It took 10, 15, shit, until they were capable of sitting them down. Finally, they set them down, and then the principal went and introduces me. Of course, that would be like being on their side. He introduced me as following. He's a guest from the United States, a businessman. He came to review the educational system of Israel and all the schools, and I came to see you, and he's going to say something. You should ask him a question. Don't let yourself, you know, show who you are, show what you know. Don't let yourself, you know, you don't have to ask questions, be bold, and have courage, you know. That was the introduction, and then I started speaking. And I think to myself, how could I start speaking? And of course, the first sentence that makes the speech or breaks the speech, how can you get the attention of them? So I was thinking I will introduce to them the concept of the codes, the computerized, the latest scientific proof that we could prove everything is written in the Torah. And say, why did Hashem give us this gift in this generation? Never had it before to prove the Torah is true in a scientific way. So I would like to, because the concept of this, Mashiach's time, and Mashiach's time institution, and people eventually going to do tshuva, this is the tools to be master of the tshuva yidin. So yidin, somebody yidin asked the question, you could prove it black and white. So I started speaking that today the scientific computer has the things, we discovered a way that you could prove things, everything is written in the Torah, and then why? And I mentioned, because before Mashiach's coming of tshuva, the minute I mentioned Mashiach, they burst out laughing, just like I would have mentioned Santa Claus, Mahavdar. And they were laughing, and they went mishuga, they went white. To the point, it shocked me, to the point that I felt, I'm fainting, I didn't know where to, I never felt such a hurt, Yiddish kinder, to hear the word Mashiach. It's just like you hear, Echweiss, Mickey Mouse, like, they started laughing like the biggest litzonis, it was so embarrassing, so hurting, and the young man was sitting next to me, didn't know where to put himself, and I asked Hashem, how could I get control back over this group, this assembly, this hundreds of kids? And usually Hashem helps, and you're in such a dilemma. And as the guy, so I tell him, it's a pleasure to speak to Israeli kids. It's a pleasure to speak to you. I'll tell you why. When I come to an American high school, and I mention the word machine, by the way, those kids are all Moroccans. 99% are Moroccan kids from Morocco, where every one of the grandparents are religious, totally religious and very religious. And they are, and they're very respectful to the grandparents. Everyone will say the grandparents, the tzaddik, the safta, safta. Usually they're very tied in motion, they're not. And I said to them, in America, when I come and it's American kids, I mention the word Mashiach, says, what kind of model of a car is this? What is that? They think it's a car, it's an airplane. What is Mashiach? They don't know, they don't react. But you, Israeli kids, unbelievable, you really react. You say the word Mashiach, you burst out laughing, you know why to laugh. You're reacting. You mamish almost like your grandparents. Your grandparents, when they heard Mashiach, they burst out crying. And you're bursting out laughing. That's all. but at least you react. Mashiach is a topic, you know, to do something about it. Unfortunately, David cried and you're laughing. Okay, how long did it take from David crying to you laughing? Not too long. 50 years, 40 years. It wouldn't take much less. That's when you're laughing, you're going to come back to cry again. But at least you laugh. You know what Mashiach is? You know, you have to react. I remind myself, it's a Tisha B'Av. At Pesach, you laugh about the Kodesh Baruch, you smile about the Kodesh Baruch, at Tisha B'Av, you cry about the Kodesh Baruch. It's two sides of the same coin. The issue is a Kodesh Baruch. If you laugh or cry, it's a life Kodesh Baruch. They cry because they don't have him. The one who doesn't believe in Kodesh Baruch doesn't cry on Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av, we are acknowledging the Pesach. Pesach Hashem, you gave him. You gave yourself to us. And how do I acknowledge I received it? Here I'm sitting in time because I don't have you. I do have you, but I don't see you. It's a Shimcha Shevuchu Lubez, the Chilul Hashem. Hanukkah, we are reciprocating Shavuos. Shavuos we receive Torah. Em Divonim. Nebuchadnezzar tried to deny Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's Tisha B'Av. That's Nebuchadnezzar. Made a Chol Beis HaMikdash. Ani Em Lo Chaim King. There's no God. So we cry. There is. So we acknowledge it. Torah was fought by the Yevonim. Lashkicham Torah said, Timu Karashman, they may tell me all the Shema, which is Chokma, Lashkicham Torah said, to make you forget Torah. When we light candles, Chanukah candles, Chanukah, we celebrate, it's not the end of the order of Torah, the light of the Torah, the Pnimus of Torah. We reciprocate, we acknowledge, Shavuos is being acknowledged through Chanukah, that we don't let our Torah be taken away from us. Purim, we acknowledge and reciprocate, we don't let to take away the value of a yid, no matter under what circumstances. You gave me sukkahs, a gift as a yid, that every Jew is invited to sit in a Kodesh Baruch Hu sukkah. You could be sleeping, sound asleep, and every second you sleep in the sukkah, you're fulfilling a mitzvah, because you're a guest of Hashem. Comes through and we reciprocate, that we rejoice that we are yidin, with what? Not with Torah, not with Hashem, not with Madregas. We take our mask and we drink it. It's nothing more than a drunkard. And you're happy. Why? Because of the Nagid. Therefore, Megillah Esther, the whole title which is given to Mordechai is given a title today. If somebody would be given a title like that, it would be very insulted. Ish Yehudi Hoy B'Shushan Abir Shvamor. There was a Yid, Shushan Abir called Mordechai. The Mordechai which was the Amshik Nesu Sagdoyla. The Mordechai which was the Novi. The Mordechai was the Baruch HaKodesh. That kind of title. Giving Ish Yehudi, it means to say there isn't a greater title for a Jew than a Jew. That's the biggest title. There isn't a bigger title than that. A Yid. Unfortunately, we lost appreciation of ourselves, and this is a Molech. Just like Nebuchadnezzar takes away Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Yovan takes away Torah, Amalek takes away the you in you. Well, Yovan, Amalek, Lochem, Israel. Because we do not have any appreciation of ourselves for our life, unless I get what we should have. We should have families and children and bring Torah and Madregas. Definitely we should have, no question what we should have. But if you don't have, it doesn't mean that you lost your value. You're still a byproduct. You're still a custom-designed production of a Kodesh Baruch Hu every second of your existence, bodily, spiritually, physically. As we say, Golim Yedelif Nekisikol Adecho, Shivim Fosech Echonema. It says, Yeshem Iskal Vafech Afilim Shachas. We can't exist even 1 second if Hashem will not monitor our physical body in front of the Kisakol. So, not only having children is up to Hashem, and not only having Madregas is up to Hashem, not only having Vesim is up to Hashem. Just for me, this split second to live and to exist, that my body is being monitored from the Kisakovin of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. That means, if Hashem is involved monitoring my body, and HaKodesh Baruch Hu is involved in maintaining the Neshama in me, after Neshama and the Kiv, it means I have a certain value independent whatever dressing that Jew has. You have to know, the greatest quality, the greatest gem in everything in us is the us himself. If I may give this marshal, imagine they would find a gemstone which is one in a kind of the world. An emerald, a ruby, a sapphire, a diamond, which is the one gemstone that is worth $100 million. How will that stone be exhibited? Tiffany exhibits that stone. How will that be exhibited? Will they put it on the most beautiful jewelry piece, $100,000 worth of art, handmade 24 karat gold jewelry piece, which is going to be the most magnificent, and the center of the jewelry piece are going to put this gemstone? Absolutely not. Because by that, people will take away the focus of the stone, they're going to look at the jewel. Usually, a gemstone is being exhibited on a rack. Totally, nothing, no dressing. the greater value the gem is, the more simple a real gem diamond. You don't put cluster diamonds around it and baguettes or on a color stones around it. It's nothing more than four prongs hold it, because the diamond has to be visible. What are we? We are the ultimate gem, just by essence of the yid. That's the matona of sukkahs. That's the greatest matona. The around us, what we are packaged with, is family and children and madregas and Torah and every beautiful thing. That's the jewel around us. Beautiful, we must have that too. All year we're working on all around us. Purim, what do? We undress. We just strip away everything. We take out the gem from the jewel, from the jewelry, and we just express the gem itself. He put a mask, he put a mask and they're drunk, and just be happy for what? Appreciate yourself the way you are, just because you are a production of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Mechir Samorik. Because Samorik, that's what I have to take away. Samorik is diminishing our value by trying to say to you, you're only as good what you deliver, not the fact that you exist. And that one day in a year, which Purim is Yehudi, the whole emphasis is Yehudin Ayit. Purim is Pesach, we take every little nobody, we bring him to the Seder and make him to a Melech, make him to a king. It sits down, the Suda, enough to lay down, it's a silver way of everything, everyone is there, it's beautiful, everyone is a king. We make from every bum, we make a prince. That's Pesach. Sukkot, Purim, we take from every prince, we make a bum out of him. Because the shall we take away the jewel around, says, you have value, you have greatness. And only after you develop that greatness, now I could prepare for Pesach, now I receive Hashem again. Start building the jewel around you. I think you heard it many times this moshul. This is what Amalek tries to take away, the self-value, self-appreciation. Unfortunately, we are not capable taking the microscope on us and to gain simcha, the fact that I'm existing, unfortunately, unless Hashem takes everything away. I think I said many times this moshul, what this Batchel said, that Chaseman hasn't been put him back on his feet. Batchel said, well, Chaseman hasn't been and put him back on his feet. What did he do to you? He says, well, they took away my car. Since then, I'm walking on my feet. This is Hashem. It has to take away everything from us in order to put us on our feet. We have no tolerance, we have no appreciation to ourselves, to appreciate ourselves the way Hashem made us, because we don't have the gift wrapping around it. We don't have this what we expect. And if we have something, we emphasize so much on that, packaging it in, touching it, and showing it up, and asking, complaining, killing, claiming, patching up, making all kind of to present ourselves, that we would never have time to appreciate ourselves and just to be happy with us just because I'm existing. I'm a production of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And unfortunately, Hashem has to take away everything, and that's what's clearly so. The Pshat Imran, which explains why the last generation before Mashiach will come, got to be bothered with so much hurt and so much tzuras, one gal after gal, one after. It's not a punishment, it's a condition that you should discover yourself, that you are worthy, that Hashem should be going you, because I am belonging to Hashem the way I am. And this is my reason, that's the end of Purim. Purim is the end of the goddess. That was as Esther Amalkos, Sira Kaili, Kaili Lama Zaftoni, why do you abandon me? Why do you abandon me? She says, Kaili Dobel. Say Chazal, why do you abandon me then? Why do you abandon me the end of the goddess? Just like then, there was nothing left to the Jewish people. They were all ruined to be extinguished. And Matkat Tzadik, all Matkat Tzadik showed to them, we are Yidin, Ish Yehudi or B'Shoshana Bina. And this is what we have to discover in ourselves. We have to take the microscope and put them on ourselves and discover ourselves, our greatness. When we lost everything and there's nothing left anymore to what to look on, all of a sudden you discover it yourself, and you have to say, you know, unfortunately I had to lose so much in order to discover myself. Now, we know very well what the world is today. I mean, our world, our from world, the way it is today. When things go more or less the way things should go, there's more or less panos, more or less family, more or less children, everything falls, and you know, you have your position in the institution, everything. Nobody would ever hear, nobody would ever think, who am I, what am I? Is it worthwhile living under this condition the way I am? Nobody thinks about it. So actually, if nobody thinks about it, you never appreciate the gem You look at the jewelry around. And everyone of jewelry is different values, different jewelry. Every man is gift wrapped with a different decoration. But we only appreciate the decoration. Custom jewelry is being put up in nice, flashy, velvet boxes, red, with purples, with all kinds of rims, beautiful, it's all showy. Gem, you don't shut anything, put it on a piece of rack. This when Hashem takes away this normal basic needs which we have to ourselves, and we feel ourselves sometimes totally valueless, total failures, total outcasts, total, we feel like that. There's a positiveness in it. Maybe that's the rock, the naked rock. Now discover, what who am I? I am a production of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm only breathing this moment, only existing because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This moment is producing you. Imagine, this is an unbelievable gift. Everyone knows it's true, but you never think about it, you never emphasize on it. And not only that we are unique individuals, every one of us, but every second of our existence is a unique individual second. Every second is a production of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now imagine there would be a picture, which is an authentic picture, known this was drawn by Moshe Rabbeinu. Who was the artist of the picture? An authentic autograph of Moshe Rabbeinu's signature. I'm sure there isn't such a thing. But imagine there would have been one picture with an authentic signature of Moshe Rabbeinu. Would this picture have a price tag? Is there enough money to buy that picture? It would be the most precious art piece in the world. Well, I must say every one of us, every second of our day-to-day life is an art piece, is an artistic work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the autograph of HaKadosh Baruch Hu signed on you. You are a tzelem, the image of God, the production of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we really believe what we say a few times a day, the Asher Yosar, if we really believe the Rekai Mishom Atam Hashem Rebekirvi, says, what am I, how did I live this moment? How did I live under this hour? I'm a product of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem autographed me. I'm a product of Hashem. If not Hashem, I wouldn't have been here. Do we appreciate it? Unfortunately, we don't appreciate it. That's a Molech. That's a Molech that takes away that sfeikus, the Molech is the Gematria Sefek, puts doubts in our value system. Now, those people have no doubts about the value. They're very valuable, because they're successes. Baruch Hashem, they have children, they have Parnosa, they have Shein Yidin, they have everything, they weigh, everything they do. In the end, they have nothing. Because all the value is pointed on the dressing. They don't even think about themselves. You come here to this year with pain, it's missing. There's missing dressings. It's missing the surrounding. The jewel is missing. And if you think there's nothing there, it's not worth it. It's sad. It hurts. But they say, no, let's emphasize it. Something's missing around it. Where is the jewel? The jewel is you. Just your existence. Just your acceptance. This is firm. This is firm. That's the biggest simcha. Without any justification. I don't need any justification to do the simcha. Except that I'm existing the second. And by the way, every one of us would feel a very, very great satisfaction if you zeichah to make a very special mitzvah. We all love mitzvahs. Pekuda Hashem Yisharim Sam Chalev. The pekuda in the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Yisharim is Yashadik, Sam Chalev, it gives happiness. It rejoices a man's heart. That's usually. And the more difficult mitzvah comes in our way, a greater mitzvah is. Imagine, remember not long ago we lost a child, a ballpark kid, was lost like one thing, less here like one. Okay? What's his name? Suri Feldman. Okay. What happened? I mean, it's Baruch Hashem, I mean, we still love each other, we all go crazy for that one lost child. And everything was up in turmoil, everything was hundreds of thousands of things. And what was the simcha, unbelievable simcha, when this child was found? When the child was found, imagine what simcha it was. Now imagine you were the person who found the child. And we looked so much. Now how many of us are totally lost? We are lost children. Nobody looks around there, we are lost. They don't even know that we are lost. And you found yourself. That's the simcha. A lost person is not the one that everyone knows is lost. The real lost person are the people that don't even know they are lost, and they are lost in themselves. Who are living and living and living in a lost person. The biggest tragedy which we have today in our society, in our from society, a more like Bushel et Azoy Shtar, is so much having us that we are all lost people. a lot of people. We don't even know who we are, what we are. We don't know on what to put the emphasis, on what to put the simcha. And therefore people are very depressed, and people go through hardships. And what does Hashem do? Hashem says, I can't send the Mashiach. There's nobody to who to send Mashiach, because you don't exist. You're dressing. You're nothing more than a cosmetic doll. That's all what you are. You, just like in physical, if everyone is pepped up, wrapped up in outside and external dressing, so the same thing is Ruchnias. Everything is gemachte Sachen. Not that it shouldn't be there. We should be dressed up, pepped up, but you have to be you. Most Klali so today just does not acknowledge their existence. They don't acknowledge their existence. So what does Hashem do? Gives patch, gives troubles, all kind of troubles, and to make a cheshbon and a nefesh, and then all of a sudden you start discovering there's the only chizuk which you could get. Let's start focusing on what we are missing. Let's start focusing on what do we have. What do we have? Okay, parnosa I don't have. I don't have children. I don't have the most best health situation. I don't have my best family situation. I don't have this or don't have this. You make up all this. So tell me, what do you have? The person says, I have nothing. But if somebody is there who doesn't have that anything, who is the person who doesn't have anything? Well, this, I write in my book, a professor in college gave a course on philosophy. He came to with his philosophy called the latest Mishugas, and said, there's no absolute. There's no absolute. And a student asked, well, listen, there's no absolute. I mean, I'm existing. Says, no. Who said you exist? Prove that you exist. Maybe a shadow, maybe that exists. And he started talking to them, okay, maybe it doesn't even exist. And one student really went into a rage, says, really, I may not exist. So finally he was totally lost, and then total machine says, professor, I want to know, do I exist or not? I can't let you go. I mean, I have to know, do I exist or not? Then I don't exist. I started nudging with the professor, do I exist or not? The professor looks at him, who is the one who wants to know who exists or not? Who is the one who wishes to know? We are not, there isn't who to send, to whom will Mashiach come if we don't exist? We don't even exist. It's Purim, it's nothing wrong. So, what I'm trying to say, we have to be able, b'chol etzev yiyeh moiser. In every etzev, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "B'chol etzev yiyeh moiser." In every sadness, there is an advantage. There is no sadness. There is no difficulties. There is no pain where there is no advantage to be derived of. The biggest etzev is when we don't take advantage of our suffering. We suffer anyhow. We go through hardship anyhow. At least let's take full advantage of what we miss. And what is it? Well, my line is, the more we miss things, and that focuses on in discovering yourself, discover yourself. And once you discover yourself, if you really have an appreciation of what you have discovered, you may say, Hashem, I'm thanking you what you have not given me, because of that I discovered myself. Should I be getting what I would wanted, I would have never ever discovered myself. I'm saying it, unfortunately, with absolute truthness. I'm afraid This is the one last mission that we have to do everything in the world that we should discover ourselves. That's my introduction. I will take your questions.
Is it the time
to
go away?
Times don't go away. What goes away?
I said
again,
there's a time when things seem to be going away. You said like the pain doesn't make you close to
God. Because when things don't go your way and forces you to think, but what does Hashem want? Hashem is not producing me. We have to know as follows. You don't expect a Picasso, a famous artist, to draw a simple crazy picture which a kindergarten child wouldn't do. So when he draws a picture and he puts his autograph on it, how does he say, that must be a very, very good picture, I happen not to know what it is, because I don't understand art, but it must be very valuable. Hashem is our artist. Hashem is drawing our picture every moment and every second. If I don't understand it, you can't say Hashem makes an unfinished product, an unvaluable product. Because I'm not an artist enough to appreciate, but I believe and accept that whatever Hashem is doing has value. And to think like that and to discover that value in you is more value than the value that you're looking for, what you're missing. In other words, to discover yourself and to appreciate yourself is a bigger child than the child that you give birth. And this could be the simple child. Eilu toldos Noach Noach, those are the children of Noach. What are the children of Noach? Noach. Shiru she'eilu toldos Noach, v'shel Shem Chavayefes. So it's Eilu toldos Noach Noach. It's tzadik tov. What is the Eilu toldos Noach Noach? So Chazal said, mitzvah simasim tov, v'zeh toldos shel Adam. The children of people are not the physical offspring, the physical children, because the animals also have children. The child of a person is the person himself. Did you discover yourself? Did you find yourself? Now, if we would have been smart, and we would emphasize on them all the time, and we will never allow ourselves being sidetracked from this beautiful gift of us by getting side gifts on the side, fine. And then Hashem could afford to give. The chosen gifts for the color gives a gift. Now, the more he appreciates the color, it's nicer gift to get. He could afford. He gives it a nicer gift. Now, what is the color doing with the gift? The gift is an expression. How much the chosen loves, and she should love her chosen. She appreciates the chosen. What will happen if the chosen gives a gift? If she gets so enraged and so happy with the gift, she dances a little bit again, and she forgets about the chosen. She falls in love with the gift. So the gift is competing with the chosen. The gift is competing. The chosen wants to get. I'm giving you a gift to get attention, to get attention, to get appreciation, to get your attention to me. You're giving all the attention to the gift and you finish. You don't even want to know me because of that. Our chosen is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gives us a gift, us. Hashem wants that. We have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu every given moment. Every second, Shvi'is Hashem in every moment. That's the ultimate of life. The ultimate accomplishment of life is to be happy, having a happy relationship with Hashem. Hashem, you produce me other second, other second, other second, other second. I'm such a fortunate person. I'm a partner with you that you produce me. And I said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's what Chazal say. Kol neshama tahav el kos es negemore. Kol neshima ve neshima tahav. Every breath of air, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Chazal say. There isn't a greater gift than just one breath of air more. That's more than 100 children, more than money, more than happiness, more than anything on the world. The greatest gift is just to have one extra moment after second of life. That's the greatest gift. And that you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We never thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. Why? Because we Hashem gives. We are the color. That moment of life is the color for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gives us. When Hashem gives us a gift, because He loves us, gives us children, gives us a home, gives us panos, gives us a nice family, and we get so involved with the gift, we forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We forget about thinking about ourselves. So what does the chosen say? I'm loving you too much that I should allow myself that you should deny me. I'm going to stop giving you gifts. I'm going to take away. Come, yell at me, scream at me, cry at me, talk to me. He says, no, now I'm getting attention from you. I start appreciating the gift which I'm really giving you. This is Yisurim. Yisurim Bahava means when Hashem is actually forcing us to give attention to Him, that He loves us, He makes us. Now, what is really what we can accept? It's not the attention in a negative way. This is Pesach Shavuos, you could take it a negative. Pesach says, I wasn't good enough devoted to you, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the tshuva. Shavuos, I wasn't enough a bas Torah, a ben Torah, after the tshuva, I have to improve. Purim is not, Purim, we don't become pruning out, we don't exercise madregas. Purim, our Hashem wants, focus, appreciate yourself. You could be a drunkard, just a simple shaker, and still appreciate. A simple Jew, because you are my production. You are my color. Just that appreciation. I would ask you, is this true what I said? Is this acceptable what I said? At least in theory, in intellectual, this is true. Nobody could deny it. It's a fact. Do we live it? No. And that's the problem. We have one thing here and the other thing here. Here you may know you could be an intelligent intellectual, this is Torah sense. I want you to tell you these beautiful words, these beautiful insights, is Torah. No man would fabricate such a thought. Matter of fact, no other religion, no other philosophy claims such a claim. I think I don't know if I said it to this group. I fell in love with this word, the beautiful word of the Imre Emes, the old Ger Rebbe. Chazal said, "Kol amatzil nefesh achas miyisrael." The one who saves a nefesh, a one soul, kilo hitzil oilamol, like he saved the full world. one single Jew is a whole world. So you say the Jew is a whole world. So he was medayek, question for matzah nefesh achas. So she called a matzah nefesh. So one is serving a nefesh, it's nefesh achas. That's nefesh achas. So he says, not only a whole Jew is a whole world, nefesh achas, 1% in a Jew is a whole world. Every split second a Jew is a whole world. That's absolutely true. And this is true, but we don't have an appreciation for that. We know it's true, but we don't have appreciation. Now we say, kol ha-matzah nefesh achas. Do you know, and I'm going to give you something theoretically. I'm going to throw you a challenge. And I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but at least it's going to be limiting. You just fight me back. I don't know what would have been. Suppose you would have been given a choice. And you would be said, you would be told, you could have a child. Because you're going to have the child, you're going to die so much before your time. Is there something to bargain with? Here a man has been given, let's say you know you came down to the world to fulfill your tachlis, you're going to live 89 years. That's your tachlis. You know you have a contract to live 89 years, that's your fulfillment. But you have to know, every person who comes down to the world comes down with a death birth certificate in one hand and a death certificate with the other hand. It's already written up from beginning to the end. Because you have a plan, there's a design what you have to accomplish in this world. People could die earlier if they're bad, they would have to come back to fulfill what they didn't fulfill. You should know, every ounce of water which we drink, every bite, every penny which we spend is calculated and weighed out in advance before we come down, because this is my production. You have to eat up the entire table here, it's really sacred. Don't worry for calories and don't worry for anything. You have to finish it, because this is the mitzvah of the host and of you making brachas, elevating it to avodas Hashem. So obviously when a person dies earlier, he had not fulfilled, he has to count, that's a yifing and gulim. So we have a mission in this world. Now suppose you're being told, you want a child? I guarantee you a child. Hashem says, I guarantee you a child. But you die shorter from your time that you have to live. Who? Question is. Okay, I was.
Not 29. No, that's a little too short.
I was waiting for your response. Actually, that's the logical response. How much shorter? Now, you would give up instead of 86. You don't mind going by 79 for a child, right? Will everyone agree that you're not necessary? Somebody would really give it to go up by 59, not 79. Okay? Some would say no, some would say yes. That means to say that you want to take your life the way you feel and to be a balabos. I'm giving up so much. Do you know what you're missing? Now, do you know? Let me give you a story. It's a true story, it's a fascinating story. A story goes that a bocher in the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva got very terribly ill. Got sick. Because very dangerously sick, was mamash almost dying. And the bocher and the daven, they did everything just to make to save the sin. And they finally, you know what they did? They made an appeal. Everyone is contributing for his life. They made an appeal. I'm giving for my life 1 year for him. If he was nixer nixer, we're going to make an appeal. How much is everyone giving up of his life to give it to him? We're going to make a collection to make him life. Is that a wonderful, beautiful chesed, Ahavas Yisrael? There was Talmid of Chofetz Chaim. You practice Ahavas Yisrael, mamash, with the life, giving over life. So obviously when you're going to having such a wonderful, wonderful project going, they're not going to exclude the Chofetz Chaim. So they also went to the Chofetz Chaim. How much are you giving to me, your life? But he heard it, he got pale, he started shivering. And the whole idea shook him, and he says, I must think about it. Next day I'm going to let you know. Next day came, he says, I'm going to give 1 minute. I don't understand this. But I got 1 minute. He says, the truth of the matter is, we should have given nothing. We have not brought up them in our lives. You don't know what life means. Life is what Hashem is giving. This is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I didn't want to discourage what you had done. I want to be mishtatef with everyone. So for the symbolic thing, I had to work on myself a whole night. I should give up that moment. But I don't understand the story. How did you give up the moment? How can you give up that moment? Now, let's see what is that moment worth. You say you're willing to go and settle for 86, 79 for a child. That means you're willing to give 7 years for that child. That's what you say, right? Now let's go in a different angle. Suppose you're being told, every one of you could have a beautiful, wonderful child, but you have to be Mechallel Shabbos. Are you allowed to do that? Let's be honest. You have to have Chillul Shabbos to have a child. Can we or can't we not? Of course not. You're being told you give them a you're going to give birth not a Poshet, to child, he's going to be Mashiach. The real Mashiach. Okay? You're going to give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to be Mechallel Shabbos for that. Are you allowed? Not allowed. What does it mean? Hashem says, my Shabbos is more worthy than your child as a Mashiach, as Moshe Rabbeinu, and you will not be Mechallel Shabbos to have a child. So, we do not know the values of our life and what is Choshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu only through Torah. Torah is the only communication. See, if I want to know how valuable is a child for me, it says, it's very valuable but doesn't come to Shabbos. I could guarantee that. But when you're 87 years old, 86 years old, and God forbid it came the last moment of your life, and there is a possibility to extend your life at one split second, but you have to do Mechallel Shabbos, you have to eat Chazer, and a million Jews will have to do Mechallel Shabbos to give one extra second. Do we have to do it? Absolutely yes. So what do we see? Hashem says, your split second in the age of 87 is for me more choshev than your children as a Moshe Rabbeinu. I just want to bring you out a machshava that when we're thinking that we are involved in a value system which is not our values, we're participating without understanding. We are participants in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's project. See, if I want to know my value, if I want to know who we are and what we are, if I want to know what we are accomplishing, the only one who could tell it to me is Hashem, not me. You can't give up life just because you want to give up life. So I'm asking the question again. Suppose you could have a child by giving up your life. Are you allowed to do it or not? Will you do it? It's of course not. I'm not a balabos on my life. There's nothing more greater than my split second. Comes out your split second at the age of 89 is more kosher than having a child, a beautiful child, than Moshe Rabbeinu today. That's what it means. A Shabbos, you're not allowed to Mechallel Shabbos for the child. But for that moment of life, you have to be Mechallel Shabbos. Do we understand it? No, we don't understand. I don't understand this art piece, which is me. I'm a product of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I don't understand this. I'm bringing to you absolute truth, true thoughts, true machshavos. Now think about it. Now, what is our problem? We will acknowledge it, we've another head, yes, but it will not affect our heart. We're still going to go back, you know what, leave me alone, just give me a child again, you know, right? But that's a problem. We don't live, we don't feel, we don't eternalize the truth. So we are split personalities. It's one thing here, one thing there. Now, again, you know my famous thing, a Breda Hoster, you have no alternative anyhow. So might as well accept. You got the greatest gift tonight. You got the greatest gift, you got yourself. And you start appreciating yourself, and there's nothing to be said, there's nothing to be worried. Of course, I want a child, I got a dam, I want many things. But Hashem knows what the system is. I don't care about. If you are being given this gift, now let's go to something else. Again, this is a cruel example. But sometimes I can't even give because people say, I'm dying. But says a person is on the dying bed. He's in a crisis. He's in a critical crisis, and he's a mamash ben modus lacham. You see, mamash every split second. And the world is fighting to maintain his life. And that's the person who loves his life. Who wants to live. Would he, in this critical time, think about yet child, no child? Is that the issue of chalal? It's not that he's fighting for life, what is the issue now? We are actually fighting for life now. We totally ignore ourselves, ignoring our lives, ignoring our greatness. Now, who is forced to think, why do you hear what you hear? You know, what you hear now should be heard by every Jew, every family member. They have no time to hear it. They're so involved in the production, in the polishing, the jewel, that there's no gem. They could never hear it, there's no reason to hear it, there's no time to hear it. Never. They don't make any time to hear it. Now, who is forced to hearing it? Who brings out this explanations to this clarity as I'm trying to bring it up? What brings out? is the actual, the collective pain, the collective missingness, the miss, b'chol etzer. This is the etzer which we have. But here, Moshe, let's take advantage. We force out, we squeeze out the truth. And then we found the gem. Once you found the gem, b'chol Hashem, there's nothing left to be said of. I found myself. I gave birth to myself. A child, your child, this child's time is going to come. It's not going to come. That's not the issue. The issue is, did I find myself? Had you found yourself? Now, going back, we do not know what our destiny, we do not know what our goal is, we do not know what our mission is from birth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So some people, being gone from even 20 years after the marriage, finally they have a child. Some people not, because everyone has a destiny. Those people who are destined eventually to have children, once you could advance it very fast once you come to this recognition. Once our homework has been made, there's no point of depriving us, and it gives what we deserve. Or we give, it gives what is actually designed to us. Those people who have never been designed to have, because we had children in the past, given we accomplished our mission, fine, they accept it still. I do my shtavos, that's a mitzvah for himself, as I spoke many times before. But there's no point of being depressed, there's no point of being sad, there's no point of being feeling unaccomplished. A person is only unaccomplished when he had not discovered himself, he didn't do what he has to do. Next question. Yes.
I'm still thinking about the chassan and kallah. I'm just imagining this couple. Let's say the chassan does not give a gift to the kallah, so she gets a little bit upset. But I could see, okay, one thing before the chassan, but after many years and she feels unappreciated, why is this jerk not giving me a present? Every other chassan in the world gives the kallah a present. I could see where there would be a little bit of a problem in the relationship, because the kallah is going to get, or the wife is going to get very, very angry. Very angry.
Okay.
So, this, you say, oh, really? At least the kallah can the wife. I see a lot of problems. It's not such an easy thing.
Okay, let me give you a motion. You come down to very practical points. I'm going to answer with a very practical point. Again, there's hardly a motion. I can't find that chosen, but imagine. Imagine you could have the chosen, the Chofetz Chaim. Okay, you could get married to the Chofetz Chaim. I mean, he's the most, Baruch Hashem, the most accepted, unchallenged personality, great man in the world. Yeah? And then you understand there's millions of candidates who will love to get a husband, the Chofetz Chaim. And finally, you were zeichah, you got the chosen, the Chofetz Chaim. And it doesn't give you gifts. Why? Because he gave you a Chofetz Chaim. Would you call him jerk? He gave you, they expect to get gifts from a Chofetz Chaim. They expect to get gifts from a Chofetz Chaim. Of course not. If you have a drunkard, you have a bum, you have a nothing, an empty guy, he has to give you gifts, he has to make up for something. But when you had the zeichah, the schus, of course he gives you gifts. The Chofetz Chaim would give you gifts. Hashem gives us gifts. But if you got Chofetz Chaim as a husband, you don't even expect any gifts. If you had the Chofetz Chaim as a husband, please sit and you know the Rebbe of the Chofetz Chaim was working, selling salt, and living on meager panosa. He was sitting and learning and writing and sitting and learning. He didn't buy a gift. He gave her a nice smile, a good words, and he said, my Torah is your Torah. But he didn't buy any gifts. And she was thrilled. Why? Because I have a husband, the Chofetz Chaim. I got the other day a husband Chofetz Chaim sitting and learning. That's one of my biggest gifts. A husband has nothing to brag about it, he has to give you gifts. Our chosen is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And by the way, he's giving us gifts. What is the gift? He's giving you for you. He's giving you a body, giving you a soul. Every second, and every second is eternity. He's giving you a gift which is not countable. And what kind of other gifts do you want? He's giving you eternity. He's giving chaye oilam nota v'sarcheinu. When you look the gift that Hashem is involved with your production, that golu v'yadiyah, you understand the Lashon HaKodesh, golu v'yadiyah lifnei kisei kavodecho, it's revealed to know in front of you kisei kavodecho, in the paseach echodem, one of my organs is supposed to be closed should open up. Or you saw some echodem, one of my organs should be open, should be closed up. You can't stand the Ramah lefenecho, feel shy even a split second. So it means this second that you breathe, that you are alive, is only because Hashem is monitoring your body on the Kisa Kola and says, I want this Yankala, I want this Ruchala to live this second. I'm investing. Isn't that a gift? Now what is the gift? Answer is, now you don't see the gift. Why? Because now Hashem, this second was only planted. Hashem makes a plantation. Chai Olam Nota, you planted. Now when you see a seed going into the ground, you don't see water, but you see a seed. You have to wait a few years and you see the tree, you see the produce. That's the Gan Eden. Every split second which Hashem is investing in our life, He's planting eternity. Where do children even come in any way to match up this gift? What other gift is the whole world, 6,000 years world of existence, all history in it, doesn't come to that split second which Hashem planted to me eternity. Again, I'm speaking truth. I'm speaking absolute reality of truth. This is Torah. Now, if I appreciate what I said, do I need any other gifts? Will any other gifts have an appreciation in compared to this? Imagine you're getting, $1 million in a penny with it. $1 trillion in a penny with it. That split second of life that you're living now is $1 trillion. A penny with it is a child that you want, that you're crying for. To prove it, because to this child which you want, you're crying for, you're not allowed to be Mechal on Shabbos to get it. Even the child is Moshe Rabbeinu. But for this split second, you must be Mechal on Shabbos to gain the split second. What, isn't that a proof? So we're getting gifts. We're getting continued. We don't acknowledge our gifts. That's our problem. Because we look at the jewel, we don't look at the gem. We don't acknowledge the gift. And therefore Hashem has to take away the jewel in order to acknowledge the gem. And that's the reason we're in trouble. So you are very fortunate because we have a trouble. So you come and you think about it, learn about it, and dwell about it, and grow with it. So I said, okay, I don't have a child, at least I discovered myself. I discovered a certain value which nobody talks about it. I spoke today in above of a high school. I spoke about it. This is, it's wonderful. If we wouldn't be spoken, we would be raised that we should be bubbling, happy, excited, Jews, just because we are living, just existing, we could never complain. We could never, of course we want children, because I want the Esrik too. I want the Sukkah, I want the Tefillah, I want the child. It's the same thing. But it's not, because if this is everything, without it doesn't pay living, that means I don't appreciate life. It doesn't appreciate life, and that's, we have to rise above that. Now, it doesn't mean that you should ignore your pain. No, because if you have the pain, you're davening, you're making it ishtadlus, and it makes it come to Shi. Now, if you would be so practical, happy-go-lucky that you could accept anything, you would never come to the Shi, so you would have not yourself another child. Both of them you're going to miss. So there must be pain in order to come to Shi. But you come to Shi, you discovered yourself, and said, Hashem, I understand what you're doing to me. Let's be practical with the truth. We shouldn't go with lies, but this is the truth. But we don't live the truth. I don't mind being challenged because I bring it. Next question.
So whoever is counseling or whatever, like, you know, then how do you stay close to Hashem and knowing yourself? You know, you said we have the pinches.
You make sure you get new pinches. You know, so Hashem takes care of that. Therefore, see, Hashem created us.
I'm saying, like, let's say the first week or whatever, like, there's still a time period that maybe you're not
so
connected. You cannot lose all the.
Enochanama. So, therefore, the Maral explains a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful thing. Yaakov Avinu was for 22 years mourning for the disappearance of Yosef. He was sad 22 years for the disappearance of Yosef. Whatever that means. The Stakman, the Shechina went away from him. He didn't have to Ruach HaKodesh. He missed Yosef for 22 years. And obviously that wasn't physical sadness. It wasn't material sadness. It was spiritual because of all kind of simonim. Now he's going to encounter Yosef. And that was the magic. After 22 years meeting Yosef, and the Torah explains that Yosef fell on the neck of Yaakov and he cried. Yosef felt and he cried. But it doesn't say Yaakov felt on Yosef's shoulder and he cried. Why? Because Yaakov was saying Krishna. Saying Shema. So the commentary says, why Yosef, if they had to say Shema, because it was a mitzvah, it was time of Krishna, why Yosef didn't say Shema? So the answer along the shares is because Yosef was Oisik the mitzvah of Kibudav. Yosef was making a mitzvah of Kibudav. Oisik mitzvah part of mitzvah, part of Krishna. But Yaakov didn't have the mitzvah of Kibud Ben. So Yaakov was Mechuyav the Kriyashma. That's the Parshat Tirisu. The Meral says, what's the Inya? But that was Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu took the most greatest gift which he yearned for 22 years. And now approaches the second that he is embracing Yosef. What does he do? He gives it away to Kodesh Baruch Hu, not for himself. He says Kriya Shema. Shema Shem Hashem Echad. What is Mesiras Nefesh? Let him say, not for Kodesh Baruch Hu. He delivered the highest, greatest moment of his joy. He says, I'm not going to let myself joy away this pleasure which you're giving me. I'm turning this pleasure to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm meyachad myself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not with myself. That's a midrega. So I give you all of you very good advice. Hashem should have one day, you should have your own baby. And when you get your own baby, give it to you for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was when they started Chana al Hashem. Chana was started praying al Hashem, for Hashem. He says, don't give me a baby for me. You give me a baby for me, give it for yourself. Delivering all my emotions, all my feelings to you. That's the way it should be. But we are simple people. It's not definite that we can be demanded of this madrigas. So Hashem gives us something, and then gives us later a particular mind of somebody else. But when we make enough work and homework now in advance, we should never forget about the Kodesh Baruch. Any other question? Down to earth. I mean, I don't know if I spoke up higher than earth to down to earth. I don't know if it was Ayotza today. Yes, I mean, I want to satisfy you. I want to answer your question, not mine. Yes.
Practically speaking, how do we know when we reach this
Madrigal
where we found ourselves?
When you go around smiling from ear to ear. That's all. Being a happy Jew. Shalom Sanigoi, being a happy person, being happy. That's the only thing. That's part of it. To be that Simcha V'Tov Levav. This is the that's the expression of a healthy Jew. A healthy, you know, if you want to know if a housewife, a woman, a couple, a chosen kala, Hashem is a chosen v'kala. If you want to know if the kala is happy, if it's a happy marriage, you just look at her face, you know, right away. You could see it right away. You don't have to. It would be very insulting for the chosen kala always goes around grudging and complaining and complaining. Right? How do we know? When she's happy, 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 then we know that it's a happy marriage. You have to have a happy relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By what? By being always happy. And you're never going to be always happy by gifts. Because Hashem is the Shagia, okay, whatever you want, you're going to get. Whatever you're going to get, you're going to want more. You're never going to be satisfied. Every person has complaints. And rather, when Hashem doesn't give, and then he said, but we got Hashem. We got ourselves with Hashem every second, all the Hashem. We're getting up in the morning, all the day, all the day, all the day. Have time to think. Now, when the Chodesh of Ovid says, when a person has children, has to thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's for the children that you gave them. When a person doesn't have children, has to thank for the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Kodesh Baruch Hu relieved him from the responsibilities of his own children, he should be able to make wider chesed, wider things. I must say, when we get everything which we want, which Hashem wants to give us, we have to thank Hashem for that. But you can never reach to that madrigal when Hashem doesn't give what we're supposed to have and forces us to think, to survive, to be accepting, happy Jews. You reach a madrigal which you could have never reached with the children. So we have to thank Hashem for that. In other words, you have been picked and chosen by Hashem. Hashem says, your attention, I want full attention from you. Therefore, I have to deprive you of this and this, because if not, you're not going to give me full attention. So I'm depriving you, not giving me full attention. Well, how sad is that? That person, Hashem deprived, and doesn't give, and not only doesn't give full attention, but gives him less attention he should be giving when he would have had children, that is geschlungen from beide Seiten, not children, and not a Kodesh Baruch, not a husband, not anything, just being depressed, that's a catastrophe. And this is not done by Hashem, this is done by our free, by our own choice. Hashem puts the circumstances, but I could use the circumstances to rise very high, or Chas Hashem to go underneath it. You can't stay just indifferent to these circumstances. So a person, when he goes through and continues through chronic pain, daily, let down, he just can't be indifferent. Either you go downwards, either you go upwards. Might as well go upwards. That's a choice which we have to do. And if you go upwards, then might as well Hashem will give us, because we made our homework.
Why can't we have the children
and the grandchildren given? The serious is the reality is that we have what we want, we don't make our homework, as I said before. Unfortunately, when we don't even have what we want, even then we don't make the homework. How many people make the right homework? And even you come to the sheet and you make the homework, how long does it last? How long does it last? So when it hurts again, so we need to read the other sheet. We need the other tape, If we would have a sechel, we have to. And I tell you what, no question about it. By making homework, means the homework to be mechazek also with the right amuna, with the right ashkof, it's not only you get a benefit that you, okay, feeling better, you had a good day, you have a high, you're feeling high, feeling good. Not only for that. That is a void of search, that's a mitzvah. This is a haftah Hashem alekecha, this is a haftah Hashem. You're reaching a level of love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu which you could never reach without it. So it's not only a practical advice which I'm giving you, a device, how you could rise. It's service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're a living Jew, you're fully practicing living Jew. There isn't a high madrega in it. As the Goyen says, the Baratani says, there isn't a way to get us close in Dovuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not through Torah, not through mitzvahs, than through Kabbalah's Yisuri Mahava. When we could accept pain with love, that's the greatest method how to get one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Dafka one. That's what they say. Question is why? And it's bothered me many times. No Torah mitzvah could bring us close to Hashem Kabbalah's Yisuri Mahava. Because the answer is, this is Yisuri which you go through pain for the third kindness and you start thinking about it, and then because of that you're discovering the gem, and because of that you really start appreciating Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is the Torah mitzvahs, as I said, it's Pesach, it's Shavuos, but it's not Sukkos. You know what Sukkos is? Sukkos is you leave the nice light in the shul, the nice chandeliers, the nice things, you're going to a shade in every in its warm, it's hot. It's just nothing, just you have only Hashem. I experienced it once a few years ago. I was in Eretz Yisrael. Here in my home, I have a very beautiful built-in sukkah, air-conditioned, heated, beautiful. I sit all year in the sukkah. Just have to have a traveling roof, the roof just goes, have a beautiful sukkah. What you trying to do? You sleep and eat, it's a wonderful sukkah. So I'm used to it. I'm very spoiled having a wonderful sukkah. It's nice and beautiful, decorated, nice and warm and cool, whatever you need. So I was in Eretz Yisrael a few years ago on sukkahs. And there's all very little sukkahs over there. Everyone has a little sukkah. Hardly could so the sukkah with my son-in-law, my daughter, we couldn't sleep there, so I rented the extra apartment, which the couple went away to England. So I rented it for sukkahs. And I didn't pay attention that it was ground level. And they had a little balcony, which was ground level with the streets. And it was, of course, a small sukkah, very small sukkah. I had to sleep on a beach here. So I remember laying down at the mosquitoes and hot, and people outside on the street, chalomoy, the music goes on one, and people are talking, it's loud, you're smoking cigarette, you feel the cigarettes into the sugar, and I can't sleep 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock at night, and it's worse, and I wake up every 50 minutes, it's scratch not, he's allowed, and his cigarette smoke, and he's, and by 5 o'clock, the buses are going in, and it's so what I'm doing here, I should have stayed home in months in nice built-in sukkah, air conditioned sukkah. What are you doing here? And then it strikes me, says, but you know what you have? You have the Rebbeinu Shalom, you have Yerushalayim, you have the sukkah, you have yourself, nothing else. Isn't it wonderful? Because there was nothing else there, so all of a sudden I find the mitzvah himself, the sukkah himself, you have yourself, you have the sukkah, you have Yerushalayim, you have the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And everything, we take all the dressing away inside. And then I had a sense of appreciation which I never felt in Monsi. Monsi was very nice and comfortable. You have the dressing, but you don't have yourself. Take away the dressing, you find yourself. Same thing is in every aspect of life. When we don't get the most basic, needed things. So we don't get this, not because we're being deprived. Hashem wants my attention. So what do I have then? I have him himself, me and him, nothing more. Ani v'hoi, Ani and him, the sukkahs. Only me and him. Hillel used to come to Sichas Veshashem, used to dance, and Sichas says, if I am here, everything is here. And Hillel was a very humble Tana. What is it? If I am here, everything is here. That Sukkot, there's nothing greater than the I and Hashem. And how can you appreciate? Go out to the Sheikh, you're nothing there, there's nothing what to be. You only appreciate the fact that you're there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Same thing is all year in life, and we don't have the basic minimum things, but I'm here with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Isn't that enough? Now then, when you get it, and you're sure that you're never going to lose it, you can say, Hashem, but I want to fulfill the mitzvahs, I want to have the other things, it's a mitzvah to have a child, I want to have many other things. Any other? Yes.
I just have to say this. The people that I know who did have children after 10 years, 15 years, I don't think this is something that they take for granted. I mean, I have a friend, I call her up, and she appreciates her children so much. So I think the closeness can continue, because every time she looks at her children, she is so aware of what a gift this really was. Much more so than somebody who has a baby right after the chassana, 9 months after the chassana. She she is also walking with Hashem because she looks at them and
she looks at the gift. She doesn't look. She never looks at herself.
She never realizes where this gift came.
It's a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful diamond ring, but it's not you. It's not the Chosen himself. You're right. It's very good that she's appreciating the gift and thinks about Hashem. But again, she awards herself as a gift. But the more she appreciates the child's gift, she never appreciates herself without the child. I could tell you, Baruch Hashem, people who used to attend the first classes in Mending the Gals and all, and I have one particular person tells me, I must tell you, these things and those feelings and those heights and those closeness which I got before, I never got after. It's no question that you appreciate the gift and you close with Hashem. But again, what do you appreciate? Hashem, I appreciate you gave me this beautiful child. Yes? But how about you? You don't even think about yourself. You're looking at your child. It's almost impossible. And let me tell you, it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible. Because we are human beings. We have to rise out of our humanness. Now, it's you know why I could speak like that? Because I speak to you. It's not my turn. If I would have had the opportunity to speak to you and to the other groups and the other groups and try to feel and to sense your pain and to see what can we make out of it, I should be in your shoes, I could have never bring out the thoughts. And I tell you something else, even in my own problems, everyone has his own peculiarities in every area. The person is in line himself, he himself can't rise up. Therefore we need each other's help. We need the lectures, we need the shurim, we need the talk, we need the learning. That's the normal man of success in Sefer Kotlin. Every person has to have, because when a person is in his own problem, doesn't see only his little narrow problem, he can't rise above that. But the person on the outside, and he cares for another person's problem, he sees also the benefits has come. I give you the hand, I pull you out, they're going to show what you really have. That's the purpose of the Shi'i. Which is, I would have never mastered this insight, which is the absolute truth. I mean, I can't emphasize enough what I'm saying. You don't know what you're hearing. I don't believe what I'm saying. I never had this clarity myself 5 years ago. I never had that clarity to understand the benefit of suffering until I became an expert and I'm 24 hours living in suffering, with people suffering. So because of that, Hashem is, and also we develop a beautiful Jew, we polish a beautiful thought, and say, wait a minute, it's so simple, it's so absolute, it's so beautiful, it's so true. How come I never knew it before? How come I never heard it before? How come I don't feel it? How come I don't live it? And I'm using it for myself. Every time there is a letdown, every time there is a disappointment, there are disappointments, but any area what it shouldn't be. I always go to my last remedy, but Hashem, I have you finished, everything is fine, you rise above it. You could sometimes be in the midst of the biggest trouble, the biggest concern, and be happy, because I have you. So when the person is being helped, you immediately misunderstood. The person says, yes, I'm appreciating Hashem for this beautiful gem, beautiful gift. But again, you're ignoring yourself. You don't see Hashem for appreciation for this moment of life at all. And Hashem says, when will you start appreciating my investment in you? You want a child, but where are you? You're also my child. Give birth to yourself, discover yourself. Nobody thinks of ourselves. I used to say, always as a joke, as a child I used to fantasize, I used to dream about it, I used to want it. When I learned, Kalamatsa, Nefesh, Achos, Misod, one saves one soul, Kili, Yitzhar, one, I can save the whole world. And I used to think, I wish you might. Adult life, one day I'm going to save one Jew for sure. I definitely guarantee I have a contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saved the whole world. What do you want? Better than a whole world? There's nothing more than a whole world. Until I got older and I said, wait a minute, you're looking to save a Jew? How about saving yourself? You're also a Jew. Save yourself. You're also a Eilam Olam. We don't save our, we're always thinking about external events, external accomplishments, external things. Thinking about you, appreciate your situation, your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That this second of living is an investment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how important, how appreciated should be. We don't come never to think about it unless there's no choice. And there's no choice that we think about it, but even then it doesn't last long. I think I'm gonna leave it with, if you heard it from me already, then forgive me, I repeat myself. You know, put it on record. So, I heard it at the Gudu Convention. And the next speaker, Rabbi Reisman, spoke right after me, and he led it off with this beautiful joke, which is a very big message. And he said the story that the joke goes that was a farmer in Europe had two horses, go
very, and there was a guy with a thief, and he put his eyes on it, he wanted to steal it. So he made up this night, he's going to make the job, he comes in, breaks into the stable, and takes one horse, takes it home. Middle of the night, comes back with the second horse, and while he was in to take the second horse, the farmer woke up, heard the commotion, so comes into the stable, and this man is being trapped now, he can't run away, and he's missing the horse, and he's there. They call the gunners. So he was a smart con man. So what if he goes to the slot where the horse was missing, and he lay down on his four two hands and 2 feet, and was standing there. And this farmer comes into the, just as he looks at him, says, the horse is missing, there's a man standing there. He says, who are you? He says, I'm your horse. He says, come on, what do you mean? He says, I must tell you, unfortunately, I died 10 years ago. And unfortunately, I was a big hurt, I was a big sinner, I was reincarnated in a horse. I was discovered in a horse, I was a guild that came to a horse, and I was your horse. And I worked for you very loyal for 4 years. But obviously, I finished my oynish, I did my job already, so Hashem had rachmunas. And they took away the horse, so the horse is gone, and here I am. So this farmer was dumbfounded, like he couldn't believe it, such a schus. And then Hashem has his horse, he sees a horse turning into a man, and such a schus to have such a horse. So he doesn't know what to do with him, he says, how can I help you? Baruch Hashem, he became a man again. So how about, you know, I give you money, go home, and start reestablishing yourself. So it's fine, he accepted the money, and he went home. So Baruch Hashem, he ended up having a horse plus money, plus getting out of the trouble, and he did it. But this farmer was missing a second horse, he had to go buy the horse. So 2 days later, he goes out to the marketplace to pick a horse to buy. He goes to the marketplace, he recognizes his horse. His stolen horse was out for sale there. He recognizes his horse, he goes and says, but it cannot be, he became a mensch already, well, it's gotta be. He goes, he searches around, and looks around, he's like, no, this is his horse. He walks over to us, says, Yanko, one day you're back in business, you get a horse? You came again a horse, you get a horse. My marshal is, I'm not chas v'shalom this crowd, I'm not, we live like animals, we live like horses, we don't think. We just go out living and eating, sleeping and grudging and complaining. We're behemoths. We live like animals. Here and there, here and where, we get awakened. We get out, and we get out of our horse body. We can't mention again. We get excited, we get awakeness, we get others. Here and there, we get some Hashem Yisrael Rachmonas of us, and we become always horses. But unfortunately, it doesn't last too long. Get there too late, back into the horse position. You could hear a good lecture, you could hear a good tape, you could be high, everything. How long does it last? It's a shame. Once you got out of that no thinking stage, it's about, let's stay there. We could fall a little bit, but let's stay there. You know, in a chart, in the stock market, there's always, a chart never goes like that. It's always zigzags. Yeah. It's always zigzags. But when it reaches a high, you know, even if it falls, it's for the reason to come back and to reach a further high, to break to a further high. Our chart has to zigzag. But every time we reach a high, even to fall down, it's a reason to clear. Not to fall down, to stay down. We have to know when we fell down, the more we fell down is that we should take a new push to go up, and the new high has to be a bigger high than the previous high. We have to grow and grow and grow. And Hashem Shetab should be zeich to be simcha, that we should be meich and amorik totally.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגדי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגדי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגדי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@hl.com.